Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. What a blessing, and what a blessing it is to be aware that what we do owe the Lord, and how good of a God it is that we serve. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 51, Psalms chapter 51. For some time now, we've been in just studying this idea of stress, and had to figure out where it came from and dealt with the roots of stress and all the different things the Bible has to say about stress and stress-related examples in the Bible and all the things there. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the God-designed stress, and that is the stress which God uses to grow our faith. And that's through the trials and the different things that you have no control over, but God does. And we looked at James, and of course, James was counting it all joy. And we looked at Jeremiah, and he said it was just within him. He couldn't stop preaching and couldn't stop doing the work that God called him to do because it was burning in his bones. And then the Apostle Paul, as we looked at him last week, and we just realized that God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Through God-designed stress, that which God uses to grow our faith. Well, there's another side of that now, and we're going to start tonight, and we're looking at self-inflicted stress. Self-inflicted stress is the result of sin. And last Sunday morning, we preached on David's great sin, and that he became a murderer. If you remember that message last Sunday morning, and what could have been if David had not continued in sin, things would have been totally different for him and his family and his generation and of family members. And we saw all that would happen. If David would have stopped, he would not have become the murderer that he became, and all the different things. And so this will go right along with that. In Psalms chapter 51, it's what David writes after he is confronted by Nathan the prophet concerning what his sin had done to him and where he was at after he was made aware of this by Nathan the prophet. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading Psalms 51, verse 1 down to verse 12 this evening. Self-inflicted stress. The Bible says, David writes, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." And God always is loving, and he is always kind, and he's always good. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And let's pray. Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for just the opportunity to be in church and to be able to come back this Sunday night, what we've already experienced in being in this place. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture and we look at an example from the great Bible character, David, and I pray, God, that we would learn from him and we would receive that which you have for us this evening through the preaching of thy word. Minister to us, meet with us in a very special way, empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Self-inflicted stress, that which is a result of sin. Now, it might not be that you have committed this great sin and the sins that David committed, which actually led to the end of being a murderer. And that's when God sent Nathan after that and dealt with all of the sins of David. But it could be just as simple as a lie. A lie that you have told, or a lie that you have been living by. And a lie that you've been living by so long that you might even believe that it's the truth. Satan is able to work through lies and deceptions. And if we buy into that, then we can live a life based on a lie. It could be the idea of uncontrolled tempers. And our response to that is, that's just who I am, take it or leave it. And some have accepted that. And yet, in doing that, that's self-inflicted stress that is associated with sin. There's self-inflicted stress that is associated with living a lie. There's self-inflicted stress which is associated with an uncontrolled spirit, anger, losing your temper, lack of patience. It's sin. There is inflicted stress that result from an idea of lust. Not the actual sin, but even the thought of lust. There is stress, self-inflicted stress has been brought on by greed, selfishness, just thinking of what I want, not being aware of the needs of others. And you've accepted it in your own life, and it's become part of who possibly you are. There is the idea of the sin of refusing to forgive. And because you've refused to forgive, it has stayed within you. And that has taken away the peace that God wants you to have, somewhat the joy that God would have you to enjoy. And we've lived with it for so long, we don't even realize that it has, what it's done to us and what it continues to do to us. An unforgiving spirit. One of the things that Satan delights in is blinding us to these sins that bring about self-inflicted stress. Even in good churches like this, there are membership that have been blinded by some kind of sin that you might not even be aware of. It's possible, because we have justified it and did all those things to be able to deal with it without confessing it, but just to get by. And after a period of time, it just becomes part of our makeup. Well, every one of these things will bring about this inner stress that attacks our conscience, our inner conscience. And also, along with that, it brings about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that God's Spirit within you knows and sees everything? The Holy Spirit of God has the very same attributes as God. He knows it all. There's nothing that God does not know. There's nothing that God does not see. God does not forget anything outside of that which He chooses to forget. And once sin is confessed and forsaken, then that is cast as far as the east is from the west, and God chooses to forget that and never bring it up again, never remind Himself of that. But that's the only way that it escapes the mind of God. Well, the answer to this kind of stress and anxiety, of course, would be to repent and to be forgiven and be renewed. And put that self-inflicted stress away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind and in your heart. and have the joy of the Lord that He wants you to have, and the peace, all the different things that God tells us we can have. And there's a process to it. And we find here, this is what takes place in Psalms chapter 51. In Psalms chapter 51, we find here David. And David had been living with an inner stress due to trying to hide his sin. And when Nathan comes, he doesn't even have a thought in his mind that Nathan's coming to reveal to him his sin. That's how strong and how powerful it can be when Satan wants you to blind you to your own sins, but you're only blinded to the sin. You're still having to suffer the consequences because God sees it. And so we find here that in verse 1, David, after his encounter with Nathan, the prophet of God, has a plea for mercy. The process of repentance is a plea for mercy. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Know that we serve a God that is always loving, always kind, always forgiving, if we just but look to Him. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David, after his encounter there, pleads for mercy. God gives grace and shows mercy. God gives grace. That means He gives you that love and kindness of God, the grace, and He shows mercy in that He withholds the deserved punishment. Mercy is withholding deserved punishment, showing mercy. But I must acknowledge it. I must acknowledge my sin, and David does this in verse 4 and 6. He says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil." He's addressing God, and we studied even last Sunday morning and understand our sin as a Christian, first of all, is toward God and what you've done after God, what God has done for you. "But against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaping iniquity." He's saying, I've been a sinner since birth. "I was shaping iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." And that's where David had blinded himself. That's where David had blocked it out in his own heart, in his own mind. "Blinded in his inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Acknowledging my sin. Sin against God is our first and greatest sin. It's what happens when we sin. Then he asks for forgiveness, cleansing. Verse 2, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin." Once you acknowledge that God is a merciful God, and God wants to forgive, but God will not forgive until it is confessed and forsaken. But once you understand that God is a merciful God, and then you look to Him and you ask for forgiveness, you ask for cleansing. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Down to verse 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than sin, whiter than snow." To forgive our sins means that God forgives the guilt. He forgives you of the guilt. And once you've confessed and forsaken that sin, then you can unload the guilt. If you've not confessed and forsaken that, then inwardly, whether you realize it or not, there is the guilt that's associated with that sin. And that will not go away on its own. No matter how long, no matter how much you try to bury it, the guilt of sin will never leave until it has been confessed and forsaken. In 1 John chapter 1, as you know the verse there very, very well, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." According to the riches of God's grace, God can and will forgive us of those sins. And in forgiving us, it cleanses us and it gets rid of guilt. Gets rid of the guilt. We find that David not only confesses his sin, that process of repentance and forsaking the sin and turning from the sin, but then his request for renewing, getting back to pre-sin, getting back to the joy, getting back your peace, getting back that which you had before. Satan is able to use this self-inflicted stress due to my own sin, whatever that sin might be. David says in chapter 51 in verse 10 through 12, he says, verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. So David had a clean heart. David had the kind of heart that I want. Amen? A clean heart. Restore a genuine belief. A genuine belief, not just a phony walk through the motions. The Bible says in Romans 10:10 that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's this heart that we need to have restored. That's where sin attacks. As sin attacks that inward part, it attacks that heart. And David says, no, Lord, help me. I want to be renewed and I want to have a clean heart. I want to have the heart I had before sin. David first turned away from God in his heart. Can I tell you, as a born-again believer, before you ever commit the sin, the Spirit of God is convicting you of that sin. You commit the sin, first of all, in our minds. And then from the mind, it goes to our hearts. And then from the heart, once you've hardened the heart, it goes to a physical action. Amen. And so I want that clean heart. I've got to renew my mind. I've got to keep my mind and my heart right with God. As David had that clean heart, David had the very heart and the mind of God. That's something that I pray for on a regular basis. Before I preach, I ask for God's power. Before I do that, I say, Lord, I want your heart and I want your mind. God, take away the sin of my heart and take away the sin of my mind. And God, replace my thoughts with your thoughts. Replace my feeling, my heart, with your feeling. And I find myself praying that more and more often. Because there's something about having the mind of God. There's something about having a clean heart, a heart after God. Not having it messed up with all these other things. I want that clean heart. David first turned away from God in his heart after he thought about that and the Spirit of God convicting him, and he hardened his heart to be able to do what he wanted to do. And if you don't confess and forsake that hardened heart's not going to go away on its own. Because once you've hardened your heart, then his desires would be wrong from that point forward. Yeah. You desire the wrong things because the heart's been hardened. So he says, first of all, clean heart. He requested as he's repenting of this sin, is acknowledging his sin, and then he repents of it, and then he requests for a clean heart. After a clean heart, he says, renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit. David at one time had the right spirit. If you've been saved, you can rededicate your heart and mind. If you're lost, you need to get saved. Because the lost man can't have the heart and mind of God. Amen. And so you have the right spirit within me. That is my spirit. A right spirit is my spirit yielding to God's spirit. Amen. When you get your mind right, you get the mind of God, then you have the heart of God, then you'll have the right spirit, because your mind will tell you to yield to the Spirit of God and not to the lust of the flesh. And your heart will be after the things of God and not the things of the world. And so your spirit now is yielded to the right things. And that's what David wants to get back to. That's what David was when God took him as a shepherd boy and started working in his life to prepare him to be the next king of Israel. A man after God's own heart, a man after God's own mind, a man after God's own spirit, if you will. And now David says, didn't even realize I'd lost all that. He cries out for repentance. And his request was a clean heart. His request went to not only a clean heart, but a right spirit. In verse 11, then he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me." Once you've walked with God, you'll not want to be without his presence. I was using a few illustrations. I'm very skeptic and hesitant to use a lot of my past rebellious years and illustrations, because I would never want a teenager to think, if pastor got by with that, I can get by with that. You know, and so I'm very hesitant to speak much about my rebellious years and what I went on, but I've had a couple people mention some of that to me about some of the cars. I wish they had those cars that I totaled and messed up and all the different things there. And then I had one tell me, I won't tell you who she was, but she said, "I know not to ride with you." And I said, "Well, no, you lost it." I said, I come back with her afterwards. And I said, "No, you don't need to ride with somebody that's running from God." That is the key there. It's not the driving skills of the individual. It's what God is doing to that individual. And if you happen to be there, amen, you're going to go through it with him. But once you walk with God, when you're running from God, you don't want to go back there. Never want to go back to running from God and being fearful of what God's going to do. Amen. Because I'm aware of God. You know who he is. And for some reason, we feel like that we can still run from God. But once you have a right heart and a right mind and a right spirit, you know what it's like to walk with God. If you've ever walked with God, I trust that everyone here has and is. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to lose that. You got to remind yourself, whatever it is that Satan is putting in your face with temptations, it's not worth losing your walk with God. Amen. David had seen what had happened to Saul. David was brought to the palace. And I believe that he was brought to the palace to prepare him to be the next king, but also to see Saul. God had given David the talent of playing a harp. And they brought in David whenever an evil spirit would come over Saul. And that's when David, who had looked up to King Saul, David had admired King Saul. Now he gets to understand the inward workings of King Saul. And praise the Lord, for when King Saul was truly walking with God, had the hand of God upon his life, he led Israel into several godly battles and victories. But when David comes on the scene, Saul has already rebelled against God. He hardened his heart, started doing things his way. And David comes on the scene, and God's allowing David to see Saul after Saul hardens his heart. And David sees what an evil spirit can do to an individual. David sees when Saul had turned away from God and he lost the mind and the heart and the spirit of God, and he lost that fellowship with God. He sees that even a King Saul can do some pretty wicked things. Even pick up a javelin and try to kill David several times. Jealousy filled his heart and his mind. So David would have seen that, and David would have thought in his own mind, no doubt, I don't want to become another Saul. But if we're not careful, that's exactly what we will become, because an evil spirit will take over our thoughts. An evil spirit will take over our hearts. Evil spirit will start influencing our spirit. And then lastly, if you look at verse 12, not only his request was for a clean heart, a renewed, a right spirit, He wanted the presence of God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. I need that. I want that. But then in verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And David desired to have once again the joy of the Lord. Restore. To cause to return. The cause to return. He had lost it. Didn't he realize it? All these things David had been blinded to, what was going on in his own life. After God revealed it to him through Nathan, he realized what he had turned away from. Once he realized what he had lost and how miserable he was and how miserable he had been, he said, restore unto me the joy that I know I can have because I've had it before. Restore unto me that which I once had but have lost because of self-inflicted stress brought on by sin. Tonight, can I tell you that there's some stress that God brings into our lives. There's nothing we can do to prevent that. We just need to learn from it. We need to allow it, God, to use it to strengthen us and strengthen our faith. But if it is brought on by my own sin, oh, how we need to address it. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to help you to deal with it as we need to deal with it, to have the request that David had, a clean heart, a right spirit, his presence, and the joy of the Lord. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Sometimes we are blinded to it, and we just accept it as just the way of life. We accept it that we'll never have joy, never have peace, never have what we want. Don't let that happen to you. If you've experienced salvation, then you know what it can bring into your life. If you desire it, you can continue to have it. Don't let anything take it away from you. Satan would love to rob us of all the good things that God wants us to enjoy in Christianity. Don't allow Satan, through sin, to rob us of these blessings of God. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And Lord, even for this short message concerning this powerful subject on self-inflicted stress. I pray, God, that you'd speak to each one of us through this. If there's anything within our hearts, within our minds, that we need to make right, I pray that we would do it tonight so that we might have these things that we desire and that you desire us to have. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.